shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah. If you're thankful to be in the house of the Lord, give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. And while you're standing, if you could remain that way, we're going to get ready to turn to the precious word of the Lord. Amen. If I could turn your attention to the book of Psalm, Psalm 105th chapter, Psalm 105, we'll be reading very quickly just a few passages of scripture, verse 8 through verse 11. Amen. You can shout yes when you get there. Amen. Tonight I would like to begin another series called Look Up. No, we need to look up. Amen. We're going to start a series on looking up tonight. And tonight I want to do part one of that series, What to Do When Life Gets Hard. How many know? Raise your hand if you've ever felt life get hard. Amen. Sometimes life gets hard. Amen. And we're going to learn what we need to do when life gets hard tonight. If you'll turn with me to the book of Psalm 105. Amen. We're going to read verse 8 through verse 11, okay? Verse 8 says, He hath remembered His covenant forever. He who? He, the Lord. The Lord hath remembered His covenant forever, and the word which He commanded to a thousand generations. How many know that's a lot of generations? His word will last a lot of generations, in fact, forever. Amen. Verse 9, which covenant He made with Abraham. Everybody say Abraham. He made a covenant. The Lord made a covenant with Abraham and His oath unto Isaac. And He confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Verse 11 says, saying unto thee, this is God's covenant unto His people tonight, unto thee, unto the seed of Abraham, unto thee, unto the people of God, unto thee, unto the church of the living God, unto thee, I will give thee the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. Amen. Tonight, I want to begin on a series called Look Up, and I want to do part one tonight. Amen. What to do when life gets hard. If you're thankful that the Lord never leaves you and never forsakes you, one more time, can we give Him a hand clap of praise all over this house? Come on, if He's been there every time you got down, every time you got weak, every time you went through something, every time you felt deserted, every time you felt broken, every time you was hurting, every time somebody disappointed you, did the Lord show up and say, I have established a covenant with thee, hallelujah, forever and ever and ever. Amen. His covenant is forever. Everlasting, amen, is God's covenant with His people tonight. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Look up, amen. How many know that the writer said powerfully, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. Amen. My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Amen. I want to talk tonight for a few moments about what to do when life gets hard. There are no people fortunate enough to escape the words that I just spoke tonight. At some point in time, if your life has not gotten hard, it will get hard. And many times I have recalled my children, as they now are adults, say to me, Dad, I wish I was just little again. Because they're figuring out that being an adult is not easy, right? And having bills is not easy. And living in a covenant of marriage is not easy. And doing the right things is not always easy. Amen. So sometimes life does get hard. Amen. And sometimes we do go through hard times. Amen. So if you've been through hard times, raise your hand tonight. Amen. Congratulations. Congratulations on being a human being. Because that's life, right? Sometimes life gets hard. And sometimes life is not always easy. So what do we do when we don't know what to do? What do we do when life gets hard? What do we do when we feel disappointed? What do we do when we feel our old man rising up and our emotions rising up and our confusion rising up? What do? We look up. We look up. That's what we do. We look unto the one whence cometh our help. That's what we do. We look up. Amen. And I want to talk to you for a few moments about that tonight. What to do when life gets hard. Tonight, we start by looking at the Old Testament character that the Bible calls Joseph. We just read a text that God had established a covenant with Abraham, the father of all nations. Amen. We know, we understand the relationship that God had with Abraham when he left the land of Ur in search of a city that God promised him. God established a covenant with Abraham, and that covenant continued on unto his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. And here we are discussing his descendant, Joseph, right? So tonight we want to talk for a few moments about the Old Testament character, Joseph. When we first meet Joseph in the Bible, he is but a young man. Probably, you know, many people have their opinions, but somewhere's around the age of 17 years old. And here he is. He's just a young man. He's just trying to figure life out. He's wet behind the ears. He does not have a PhD in spirituality. He doesn't know everything yet. He doesn't understand all of the promises of God yet. He's just a lad, amen. He's just a teenage boy, but yet he understands that he has some amazing promises from God that he can anchor his heart and his soul to. How many know you have promises from God that you can anchor your heart and your soul to? Amen. You don't have to forsake. You don't have to give up on the promises of God. God's promises are yea and amen. And if he said it, he's going to do it. Amen. And sometimes we might have to wait for a little while for it, or we might have to trust him for it. But if God said it, he's going to do it. Amen. So we have the promises of God to anchor our hearts to tonight. Amen. What we're going to learn tonight about Joseph, you know the story. We don't have time to read all of the text tonight, but you know the story, how that the Lord gave him a dream. And as he began to share that dream, people began to turn against him. How many know the enemy doesn't want you to live out what God has in store for you? Huh? In fact, some of the people that are close to you might not want you to live out what God has in store for you. All right? And so we find out that as Joseph begins to pursue the promises of God, the dream that God gave him, people begin to turn against him. Some of them was his own family, his own brothers. When he was 17 years old, they threw him in a pit. Amen. And what I want to say to you today is I feel like what I want to accomplish in your hearts and in your minds tonight is this, to let you know that sometimes when you follow the dreams and the aspirations and the things that God has placed into your heart and into your mind, stuff's going to happen. Stuff's going to happen. Hell's going to assail. And the Lord is going to use people to come against you, because that's what the devil does, right? And so as Joseph begins to pursue the promises of God in his life, amen, some things happen. Some of his own family turns on him, amen. And the next thing you know, he ends up in a pit, right? Spoiler alert, in your walk with God, sometimes you're going to end up in a pit. Sometimes you're going to find yourself shedding some tears, asking some questions. You're going to find your faith growing weak, and you're going to be saying, how did I get in this God-forsaken place that I can't feel God, I don't feel like I know God, and I wonder, is God really here? Sometimes you're going to find yourself in a pit, amen. But can I speak into this body tonight, amen, that just because you're in the pit don't mean he's not the God of the pit. And just because you're in the pit don't mean it's God's intentions to keep you in the pit. But sometimes there's a pattern to the pit. And sometimes there's a purpose for the pit. And sometimes there's a plan for the pit. And sometimes God is preparing you for something, and he has to use a pit. Amen. And we find that Joseph, as he begins to follow after his dream and chase after what God has told him was going to happen in his life, amen, he finds himself in a pit. Amen. And so what do we do, amen, when we find ourselves in a pit? What do we do when our lives get hard? What do we do when we feel we are drowning in discouragement? What do we do when we feel like we're weak in our spirit? What do we do when we feel like everything, all the forces of hell are coming against us? We stand strong on the word of God, and we lift up our heads and we look up to whence comes our help. Amen. That's why we call this the Look Up series, because when life gets hard, what do you need to do? You don't need to be looking down, drowning, and worrying about everything that's going on around you and getting your mind consumed by the problems and the pit and all this stuff and all the people that have hurt you and deserted you and turned against you. No, you need to look up unto the Lord, and you need to keep your eyes upon Jesus. And I clap your hands unto the Lord if you believe looking up is going to make a difference in your life. Come on, that's why the ceiling was laid in gold in the house of the Lord, and the floor was made out of dirt, because God never intended for us to walk around with our heads hung low all the time. God intended for us to be looking to his glory and to his power. Hallelujah. Ooh, man, don't make me preach tonight. Don't make me get excited. I get excited about the word of the Lord. Amen. We're to look to the glory and the magnificence of our Creator. God never intended for us to drown in our sorrows. A few moments ago, I said, man, raise your hand if your life's been hard, and many of you raised your hand. I said, congratulations on being a human being. Can I tell you, not everything is God's fault. Can I tell you, there is an aspect, there is a dynamic, there is a part of this is just being a human being. Huh? How many know God don't always put that nail in the road to give you a flat tire? Now, he could to save you from a wreck that's just down the road. And in that instance, we don't know what God is doing, but yet we should give him glory for the nail in the tire. Right? But not everything is God allowing or placing or using things to make us feel low or to make us feel destroyed. Sometimes life just happens, right? Sometimes life just happens. What do we do when life gets hard? What do we do when we feel all these things attacking us? You keep your head up. You look to the Lord. You keep your head in the clouds. Amen. Psalm 105, verse 9. We just read verse 9 through 11. The Bible says that the covenant which God, amen, had established or made with Abraham, amen, in his oath to Isaac, and he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel in an everlasting covenant, saying, I'm going to give to you the land of Canaan as an allotment of your inheritance. Can I tell you, it's hard to understand that we have an inheritance coming when we're in the pit. It's hard to thank God, Brother Eric, for what we know he's going to do down the road when we're living in real time right now, and it feels like all hell's assailing us. And it feels like our mind is failing us. And it feels like people are deserting us. Can I tell you, everybody in the world can desert you as long as you still got Jesus. You got more than what you need tonight. Can I tell you, don't get discouraged by the pit. Don't get discouraged and start looking down. Lift your head up unto the Lord and look up. Amen. Look up unto the Lord and don't get caught up in everything that's going on all around you. You have an inheritance, incorruptible inheritance, that God has in store. Amen. A crown of righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. A robe of righteousness. God has given unto his people who will look up to him even in the hard times. Amen. How many know that God is looking for people that's going to love him, amen, even when all hell assails them? God is looking for people that's going to keep their eyes on him even when there's an abundance of distractions all around them. Amen. It's called spiritual discipline. And we got to have spiritual discipline, Brother Bry, in our lives. Amen. And this is why we teach spiritual disciplines in this church. Amen. God has given us a promise. He has given us an inheritance incorruptible, right, that we can look forward to. And no matter where we find ourselves at in real time, because I know it's not easy. I was having a conversation with a young person the other day, and I was looking at their portfolio, and I told them, I said, man, you guys might be a little strapped for money right now, but what I wouldn't give if my portfolio looked like your portfolio when I was your age. Because on paper and right now, your bills versus what you're bringing in looks like you're in a tough spot. But you're really in a good spot if you be patient and you just continue working hard and you continue to do the right things. In the years to come, you're going to see things begin to open up unto you. Can I tell you, that's the same way it is in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we don't understand because we're in real time. And right now we might be in the midst of the trial. Some of you are enjoying blessings right now. Some of you are just coming into the church right now. Some of you are excited about what God is doing in your life right now. But some of you are in a valley. And some of you are fighting battles. And some of you are fighting tribulations and temptations. Can I tell you, if you just hang on, some doors are going to begin to open. Your inheritance is going to come into view. You're going to understand how great your God is. You're going to understand how big your God is. And you're going to realize the land of Canaan is before you. Woo! The land of promise is before you. Amen. God has promised us an inheritance. He has promised us a promise, the land of Canaan, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. So what do we do when life gets hard? We look up. We look up. We don't get down. We don't get discouraged. We don't drown in our sorrows. We lift up our heads and we look up unto the Lord, because we realize we have an inheritance regardless of what is happening real time. Can I tell you, I've seen people who really fought and struggled through their lives financially. And, you know, you can always correlate physical things with spiritual things. I've seen people who fought and struggled and barely had anything. And then a parent would pass away and leave them some money, and their whole life would change because of an inheritance. Can I tell you, every born-again child of God filled with the Spirit of the living God in this room tonight has an inheritance. You have an inheritance. You have something before you that is so great that eyes have not seen it. ears have not heard it, neither has it entered into the heart of man. You don't even fully begin to grasp how big it is, your inheritance that's waiting on you tonight. Amen. In the land of Canaan. Amen. What God has prepared for his people. Amen. He said, I'll give the land of Canaan as an allotment of your inheritance. Amen. And then we realize as we go through this story about Joseph's life, we understand that the Bible says that the Lord called for a famine. He destroyed the provision of bread. The Lord, who is, when the Bible says he called for a famine, who is he? It's the Lord. The Lord called for a famine. Amen. The Lord took away all of the provision of the people. Amen. So in this story, God destroys the provision of bread for the people. But if we read in verse 17, we understand and we see that before he did that, we understand that God sent a man. God sent a man, and his name was Joseph. So here God makes this promise all these generations previously to a man that he loved dearly named Abraham. Abraham leaves his homeland of Ur in pursuit of a city that he didn't even know where it was, but he trusted God enough to pursue it. And he goes and he pursues it. And then generations down the road, we see that Jacob has a boy, and the Lord gives him a dream, and the boy begins to pursue the dream that God had given him. Amen. So from the time of Abraham down through the generations till we get to Joseph, the plan of God is steadily at work preparing the inheritance of God's people. Now, all the way down through these generations, we see all of these struggles and all of these things that happen. Even in the short life of Joseph, we see all of these struggles that Joseph had to go through. All right? And we see that Joseph had to suffer. But all along, God had a plan for Joseph's life. And God's plan for Joseph's life was tied to the promise that he had given Abraham generations previously. How many know God don't forget a promise? How many know God don't forget a covenant? If God has established a covenant with you, let me tell you something. Don't you ever stop pleading the blood on your children. I don't care how long they've been living in the world. I don't care what drugs they're hooked on. I don't care how bad alcohol has gripped their heart. Don't you ever stop pleading the blood of Jesus on your children. Don't you ever stop pleading the blood of Jesus on your finances and on your health. Because if God has established a covenant with you, it is forever. Amen. It is forever. Amen. And we see that God was doing all of these things. Amen. And he had taken away these provisions. He had called for a famine. He had taken away the bread out of the land. But before he did that, he sent a man. He put somebody in the right place because God knows exactly what he's doing. Can I tell you that even in real time, when you ain't feeling the urgency to lift your hands towards heaven, even in real time, when you ain't feeling like jumping up and down in a worship session, can I tell you that even in real time, when you don't know where dinner's going to come from or you don't know how the light bill's going to get paid, God still has a plan. God still has a plan, and God still has for you an inheritance, and God is lining things up for the faithful that his plan and his inheritance will come to pass. Amen. So in this story, God destroys the provision of the people. But before he did that, he set a man before them named Joseph, who was sold as a slave by his own family into a pit. His feet were chained with fetters. He was laid in irons. He was sold between people. Amen. He was placed in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. And then when Potiphar's wife falsely accused him, then he's put down in the prison, amen, with the baker who was the other one? The butler. Thank you, sis. The butler and the baker, right? And so he's put down in the prison. But can I tell you that God's people, even when it appears that they're suffering, they can still be blessed and they can still have success even in suffering. Huh? Yeah, you can. You can still be blessed. You can still have success even in suffering. God can still bless you. Amen. So the king sends and releases him. Amen. The ruler of the people lets him go free. Amen. Made him the lord of his house. Amen. To rule over all of his possessions. To bind his princes at his pleasure. And to teach all of his elders, the Bible says, wisdom. He trusted Joseph to teach them wisdom. Now, it's interesting tonight to read, and I want you to understand that the text that we're taking tonight out of the book of Psalm is actually a recollection from the and a perception from the eyes of the patriarch David. What happened to Joseph actually happened to Joseph all the way back into the book of Genesis. But we see that the story of Joseph is so powerful that now it is being retold by the patriarch David, and David is looking back over the life of Joseph, and he's seeing all the great things and all of the steps and all of the trouble that Joseph went through, and he's looking how Joseph was placed in a pit. He's looking how Joseph was falsely accused. He's looking how Joseph was placed down in the prison with the butler and the baker, right? He's looking how all of these things are transpiring in the life of Joseph. And David can look back over Joseph's life and he can see the plan of God unfolding in the life of Joseph. Can I tell you what you're going through right now? You're going through in real time. But in the years to come, when your children grow up and your grandchildren grow up and the church and the people in the church are looking at your life, they're going to look back over your life and they're going to see what God has done for you, and they're going to look at it just like David did on the life of Joseph. And you're going to say, man, God is so good. He had a plan all along. God never intended for Joseph to stay in that pit. God always was going to use Joseph to deliver his people, just like the dream that he gave him. So what do you do in real time when you're feeling down in your spirit? You look up and you understand that God is in control of your life. God is in control of your life. And here we are, years later, we're looking at the story of Joseph through the eyes of David. And in fact, if you read in the book, I can't remember if it's the book of Luke or the book of Acts, but you'll see that Stephen, just before he was stoned, he recalled the story of Joseph. So not just David, but Stephen. And not just Stephen, but Brother John Biddle and Breaking Bread Apostolic Church are looking back over the life, Brother Doug, of Joseph. And we're seeing that all along God had a plan. All along there was inheritance coming for the people of God. God never intended on leaving them where they were at. God never intended on letting them die in that famine. God had a plan. He was putting a man in place. He was putting a provision in place. But God had to get his people where they could understand that they got to look up to him. They got to look up to him. And sometimes we're going to go through stuff. What do we do when life gets hard? We look up. We look up to the Lord. We keep our eyes upon the Lord. So we read about the life of Joseph out of the mouth of David and out of the mouth of Stephen and out of our own mouths today. I guarantee you multiple times in this church, the children in this church have heard of the story of Joseph in the pit. Time and time and time again, the story is recalled. And we understand because we are living in real time. So God gives us these things so we can recollect them, so we can remember them, so we can look at the lives of these patriarchs and say, man, God brought them through it, and God will sure enough bring me through it. If God didn't desert Joseph, he's not going to desert me. If God didn't leave Joseph in the pit, he's not going to leave me in the pit. If God didn't leave Joseph in the prison, he's not going to leave me in the prison. If God didn't let Joseph and the children of Israel die in that famine, God's not going to let me perish in the midst of my famine either. So we look back over the patriarch's life. We see it. We can recall it. We look at it. And God does these things to remind us and to show us, man, how powerful, how mighty, how magnificent he really is, how wonderful his inheritance is. Amen. All along, the Lord tells Abraham to leave the land of Ur. And generations later, God knew there was going to be a famine, and those people were going to leave their homeland, and they were going to end up in the land of Egypt. So God sent a man. My God, you think your God ain't looking ahead at your tomorrow? I come to contest that. He's looking ahead in your life 10 years from now. God knows exactly what he's laying out for you. God knows exactly how to bring your promise to pass. God knows exactly how to get you to your inheritance tonight. We look at Joseph's life through the lens of David. We look at Joseph's life through the lens of Stephen. We look at the life of Joseph through our own lens tonight. And we understand that God is not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to abandon us. Amen. No, he's not. Look. But sometimes God has to get us in a place where we can be used for his glory. It's not for our demise, it's for his glory. Can I tell you tonight, amen, that this light affliction, which is but for a moment, the Bible says, come on, it's working towards an eternal weight of glory that God has in store for you. It's not to your demise, it's to the glory of God. He's pleading with you. He's begging with you. He's telling you, look, don't get caught up in all the stuff around you. Keep your eyes upon me. Don't cause me to bring judgment upon you. Don't delight in the death of the wicked, but be saved, be converted, be righteous, be holy. Keep your eyes upon me because you have an inheritance coming. And it's not just any old inheritance. It's an inheritance that's incorruptible. Amen. But if you won't receive God's mercy, I hope this burns and etches in your mind. If you refuse God's mercy, you receive God's judgment. How many know it is possible that you can reject the mercy of God? And when you reject the mercy of God, you receive the judgment of God. Amen. So we got to be willing to understand that God does all things well. Amen. And God does have a promise that awaits us. God does have an inheritance that awaits us. Amen. And God is faithful to keep his covenants. And we learn that from the covenant that God had made with Abraham. And generations later, here he is bringing that covenant to pass to the descendants of Abraham. God didn't just give a promise to Abraham. He gave a promise to the descendants of Abraham. And here God is bringing that inheritance and bringing that promise to pass. So he puts a man in Egypt before he calls for a famine. Can I tell you, God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows exactly what he is doing today. Amen. And it shows us that some of the hard things that we face, what do you do when life gets hard? You look up. But some of the hard things that we face can turn out to be some of the best things that has ever happened to us. I'm going to say that again because nobody needs to hear that like the people of God do. Some of the hardest things you will ever go through in your life are some of the greatest things ever to happen to you in your life. Man, I look back at some of the things that I went through in my life, some of the positions that I put myself in my life, some of the decisions that I made in my life, and some of my greatest trials and some of my greatest disappointments turned out to be some of my greatest blessings. You don't know what God knows. His ways are much higher than your ways. Imagine with me, if you will, if Joseph would have just got caught up in real time and said, I give up on the dream that God gave me because I'm living in a pit. I give up on the dream that God gave me because Potiphar's wife falsely accused me. I give up on the dream because the butler made me a promise that when he got back up there with the king, that he was going to speak to the king on my behalf, but he lied to me. Imagine with me, if you will, what would have happened to the descendants of Abraham if Joseph would have got caught up in real time and discouraged Brother Joe by everything that was going on in his life. There would have been no man. There would have been no man for God to give a vision on how to prepare for that famine and to feed the descendants of Abraham. God had a plan all along. You don't know right now what God is doing in your life to prepare three generations down the road. There are people that come into this church first generation, and their great-grandchildren will be apostolic pastors, and hundreds of souls will be saved because generations ago you walked through the doors of an apostolic church and you heard apostolic preaching and conviction grip the hold of your heart, and you ran to the front of a church and you laid down your sin and you was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and filled with His Spirit. Man, you don't know what God is doing generations down the road. God knows exactly what He's doing. God called for a famine, but He already had a man in place that knew how to deal with the famine. It shows us that some of the hardest things that we face in this life turn out to be some of our greatest blessings. And we don't want to accept that because we live in real time, right? And this is why the Bible tells us that we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Because sight tells us to look at real time. Sight tells us to look at what's going on around us right now. But faith tells us to trust in God no matter what it looks like. Faith tells us to trust in God no matter how hard it gets, because we have an inheritance that's on the way. Amen. David was saying, Lord, you used a famine. You sent a famine. You had a plan for a dry season. You called for a famine in the land. You knew that you was going to perish. You was going to take away the provision of bread for all the people. But you put a man in place and you gave him a vision and you gave him insight. And you told him, this is how you're going to provide. This is how I'm going to bring my promise to pass. And that's exactly what happened. God sent a man. He didn't just send the family of Israel into Egypt. He sent a man before them into Egypt. He sent provision before them into Egypt. And can I tell you, God ain't just sending you down in the valley all by yourself. God sent provision for you in that valley. God didn't send you into a hardship or a trial or a tribulation. No, God made provision for you before He ever sent you there. Because He knows what He's doing, church. Does that mean that God did an evil thing? No, it doesn't. But God uses evil for good. We can't do that because we're not sovereign. But we serve a sovereign God tonight. And He can use evil for good. We can't lie even if it's to accomplish good. How many know? Many people get caught up in that lie from hell and they think they can tell a lie to try to accomplish good. But when you do that, you're trying to stand in the place of the Almighty. We cannot use evil to accomplish good, but God certainly can use evil to accomplish good. He sends a famine in the land, but He prepares. He makes a provision. He sends a man, amen, before He calls for that famine in the land. Amen. He sent a man before them to bless them, to make provision for them. God didn't do an evil thing. He just used an evil thing to accomplish good. Amen. He was redirecting. How many know God redirects what man means for evil, God will redirect that evil and accomplish good. My God, I couldn't tell you how many times I've had people attack me, people come against me, and man, the Lord turned that thing right around and use it for his glory. You know what you need to do? You don't have to defend the gospel. You don't have to defend righteous living. You don't have to defend a holy lifestyle. You know what you need to do? You need to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles. You need to hold your peace and watch and see if God don't turn what man intends for evil, God will use it for good and turn it to his glory. That's what kind of God we serve tonight. Joseph went on to say at the end of his life, what they meant for evil, he was referring to all of the people, starting all the way back to his brothers. He began to share the vision, the dream that God had given him with his own family. And they said, oh, you really think you're something. Well, how about this? Let's just kill him. And then another one says, no, we can't kill him. We can't do that. We're not allowed to do that, so let's just throw him down in a pit until the next band comes along, and we'll sell him as a slave to the next band that comes along. Amen. Can I tell you today, Joseph, at the end of his life, he would go on to say that what they meant for evil, God would turn for good. Huh? We got to hold on to those things tonight, church. We got to hold on. We cannot get caught up in real time. What do we do when life gets hard? What do we do when we feel discouragement knocking on our door? What do we do when we're feeling overwhelmed? What do we do when we feel that we have fallen down and we have made some mistakes? We look up. That's what we do. We don't get caught up in the dirt. We don't get caught up in the junk. We don't get caught up in the real time. We keep on looking up to the glory of God. And we understand that we have an inheritance on the way. God was doing something bigger. Joseph was sent there to save many lives. Imagine with me, if you would, how much it would have changed, Brother Chris, Joseph's opinion of the pit in real time if he knew that years down the road, God was going to have him sitting in Pharaoh's palace. And all of his family was going to come into the land of Egypt. And all of his family was going to be saved because of everything he had endured. Well, I hope that gets down in the soul of everybody that's under the sound of my voice tonight. Imagine how much it would have changed Joseph's perspective. Let that change your perspective tonight. We're looking at the life of Joseph through the lens of David, the lens of Stephen, and the lens of this church. We have the privilege to look back over this man's life. But what kind of faith did he really have, Brother Jacob, to say, even in the pit, I'm going to look to the Lord? God, what kind of faith did he really have to say when Potiphar's wife falsely accused him, I know I'm feeling down right now. I know I'm feeling discouraged right now, but I'm going to look to the Lord. Imagine when that butler came out and deceived him and didn't speak on his behalf. What would have happened? He said, I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. And church, that's what we have to do tonight. We have to look to the Lord. What do we do when life gets hard? We look up. We look up. Don't find yourself getting caught up in real time. This is all vanity. This is all temporary. This is all going away. But what we're working towards is eternal. What we're living for, what we're changing for, what we're sacrificing for, what we're giving ourselves to is eternity. And that's what we have to look forward to tonight. God was doing something so much bigger. And somehow Joseph had the faith to understand in real time. Man, I'm going to look to the Lord. This ain't good. I'm falsely accused. This man could put me to death. This ain't good. I'm down here in the inner parts of this prison. This ain't good. I don't know if I'm bad. I don't even know how long Joseph was down there in that prison. But I promise you, every night was wearing on his spirit. But somehow he kept on looking to the Lord. Somehow, he kept on looking to the Lord. So what do you do when you get down? What do you do when life gets hard? What do you do when you get scared? You just keep on looking to the Lord. You keep looking to the Lord. You keep looking to where your help comes from. There's so much power in verse 17. The Bible says that God sent a man before them who was sold as a slave. You know what man was doing, God was overturning. How many know God is able to overturn? God is able to reroute. God is able to change circumstances. There are people in my life, and for the most part, I'm a friendly man, and I love people, and people love me, and for the most part, I get along with a lot of people. But there are people, if they had their way, I would not stand behind this sacred desk tonight. Can I tell you, there are people, if they had their way, you would not enjoy the blessings of God tonight. But God is able to overturn. God is able to reroute. God is able to take what man wants to use for evil and turn it to good. That's what God is able to do tonight. We back up just a little bit. We come in here. We begin reading about the life of Joseph. We talk about all of the things that he endured as a man. We talk about Potiphar's wife. We talk about the butler and the baker. We talk about Pharaoh's house. We talk about the famine that hit the land. We talk about how God gave him a vision on how to save up all of these years of this, and then all these years of this, and to prepare for this famine. We talk about how he sent the Lord sent his brothers before him, and his brothers didn't know who he was. We talk about how God used Joseph to give this provision to Abraham's descendants, Joseph's family. We talk about all these things in the life of Joseph. But let's rewind just a moment. Let's look at the childhood of Joseph for just a minute. Joseph, as a child, Joseph's dad was Jacob. We know about the story of Jacob. How many remember reading the story of Jacob's ladder? How many know Joseph wasn't a dreamer all by himself? Joseph's daddy was a dreamer also. Don't you ever discount the way God's going to use you in the lives of your children and your grandchildren. Joseph was a dreamer, but Jacob was a dreamer also. And we look back over the childhood of Joseph, and we look how that Jacob, we can imagine Jacob telling his son, yeah, when I was running at one of my lowest points in my life, When I was running, and one time I found a rock and I used it as a pillow, and the Lord gave me this vision of a ladder that God had extended down from heaven, and it stretched from earth to heaven, and there was angels ascending and descending, and it put me right in the presence of God. And imagine, because Joseph grew up hearing about the dreams of Jacob, when Joseph received his own dream from God, he was willing to receive the dream. This was something that Joseph had normalized. Joseph grew up listening about the dreams of Jacob, how that God spoke to Jacob in dreams, and how that God gave him a vision of a ladder and these angels, and how that God used him. So when God gave Joseph his dream, he was able to get a hold of that dream. Can I tell you, God wants you to get a hold of your dream. God wants you to get a hold of your vision. God wants you to get a hold of it and never let go of it. Because there are many things that are going to happen in your life. What do we do when life gets hard? And life is going to get hard. Life is going to get tough. And you are going to face some things. What do? We look up. What do? We look back through the lens of David and Stephen and this church and the Sunday school department and all the people who have ever preached about Joseph's life before, and we see how great our God is. We see how he was never going to fail Joseph. He was never going to fail Abraham. He was never going to renege on his covenant with Abraham. God always intended on bringing that covenant to pass, and that's exactly what he did. Years later, he sends a man before a famine comes, and he puts him in place. Is it really 8:00 already? I better hurry up. I can't help it. Thanks be to God, he sent a ladder down for us. Thanks be to God, you're in a worshiping church tonight. Thanks be to God that you're around some people that know how to get you catapulted into the presence of God through your praise. Can I tell you, Jacob's ladder was your praise. Your praise and your worship put you standing in the presence of the Almighty. Thank God tonight that we have a worshiping church. I wouldn't give a nickel for a dead church. I wouldn't give a nickel. I am not going to a church where I do not feel the Spirit of God in it. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. And I tell you right now, everybody in this room, everybody in this sanctuary ought to give God some praise right now for being in a church that praises Him and worships Him and adores Him and exalts Him and lifts Him high tonight. We got to hold on to our dreams. Jacob had dreams. Jacob shared those dreams with Joseph. So Joseph normalized these things that God was going to speak to him in this way. And that's exactly what God did. Now, he grows up. Now he's got his own calling. Now he's got his own vision. Now he's got his own dream. And what's he going to do when times get hard? He's going to look to the Lord. He's going to look to the Lord in the pit. He's going to look to the Lord in the prison. He's going to look to the Lord when people are falsely accusing him. He's going to look to the Lord no matter what comes his way. Joseph's grown up now. This is what God has for him. Amen. These are the dreams that God has given him. Amen. They told him, you know, they thought they were going to tear those dreams from his hands. They saw him afar off. Even before he came close to him, they said, here comes the dreamer. Can I tell you, the enemy looks at you and says, here comes the dreamer. Here comes the one that thinks they're going to be used by God. Here comes the one who thinks they're going to escape their addiction. Here comes the one who thinks that their past is going to be erased. Can I tell you, that's exactly what's going to happen as long as you keep on looking up and don't get caught up in real time. You'll see what will become of your dreams. You'll see that God will bring your dreams, your visions to pass. God will bring his promises to pass. What do we have control over? What did Joseph have control over? What did Jacob have control over? Themselves. That's what you got control over. You can't control what everybody else does. You can't control what the economy does. You can't control what the world does, what the president does. You can control what you do. You can control your perception of your situation. And can I tell you, Jacob's perception of the pit, Jacob's perception of the palace, Jacob's perception of the prison was everything. It was everything. What do you have control over? You have control over yourself. You have control over the way you see things. Many people in this room have been through things, unfair things, things you did not deserve. You did not have control over what came your way. But what did you have control over? The way you responded to it. That's what you had control over. This text speaks to us tonight. We can face pain and prosper at the same time. We can suffer and have success at the same time. We can. We really can. We are the people of God. Joseph's life teaches us that. God had a much bigger plan. Joseph did not just get caught up in his present time suffering. He understood God had a much bigger plan. He had success in his suffering. He kept his head in the clouds. He looked to the Lord. He looked to the Lord. What do we do when times get hard? We look up. Joseph was successfully suffering. That's a new term right here in this church. Successfully suffering. That's what kind of God we serve. That'll cause you to look at your suffering in a different light. Successfully suffering. Suffering for Christ. Suffering for his kingdom's sake. Suffering because we understand God has a much bigger plan for our life, but we got to go through some stuff to get there. What do you have control of? A lot. Yourself. You have control over yourself. You have control over your perception. You can choose to honor God in your situations. You can choose to honor God in your suffering. You don't have to become bitter. You don't have to become angry. You don't have to get down in real time. You can look up. You can look up. You can believe God that something great is on the way, and that's exactly what will happen. What do you have control of right here, right now? You. That's what you have control over tonight. Joseph teaches us how to keep our head up. He teaches us how to keep our eyes on the Lord. Jesus said that there's two roads in any given situation. There's a way that's straight. There's a way that's narrow. There's a way that's broad. Many go in there at, right? Which way are we going to choose tonight? Few there be that find this way. We can choose on how we respond to what we go through in this life. So what do we take away tonight? What do we learn tonight when we're in the pit? I dare you to believe that it's for some purpose. When you're in the prison, I dare you to believe God is bringing something big in your life. When you hit a famine, I dare you to believe God is big enough to bring provision, and you can successfully suffer as a child of God. You can be blessed in the midst of a drought and in the midst of a famine. I dare you. I challenge you tonight. Jesus told us if we're mourning, we're blessed. We're lucky. What kind of teaching is that? If you're mourning today, you're blessed. Why? Because you shall be comforted, he said. Huh? You shall be comforted. If you feel poor in spirit tonight, you're lucky. Why? Because yours is the kingdom of God. Yours is the kingdom of God. We can successfully suffer tonight. There can be sunshine in the shadows tonight. We can believe God for great things tonight. We can keep our eyes upon the Lord tonight. Here's the thing about Joseph that I want you to get down in your spirit as the musicians come quickly. Here's the thing I want you to really get down in your spirit tonight. Joseph did not get caught up, and Joseph did not give his feelings the last word. Can I tell you, if you listen to your feelings, you're going to lose your way with God. If you listen to your feelings, you're going to lose your way with God. Joseph was strong enough. Joseph was wise enough to keep lifting his head and to keep looking to the Lord. And he did not give his feelings the last word. And that's what we have to do tonight as the children of God. Now we come to the end of Joseph's life. He's 110 years old, and this time he's actually dying. His life on this earth is actually about to come to an end. But here he is, this same man still looking forward, still forward thinking, still being optimistic, still. The book of Genesis, the 50th chapter, tells us that Joseph looks to his brethren as he's about to die. And he says, I'm about to die. I'm about to take my last breath, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to speak something into you. God is going to visit you. God is going to visit you. And I'm going to tell you that God is going to bring you out of this place. And little did Joseph know, but he was speaking of the coming of Moses, that God would use another man that he had already laid out generations before. And God would use another man, Brother Carl, to come along and to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Don't you dare think God does not have a plan. Whatever you're going through real time today, everybody stand with me if you would in this place today. Whatever you're going through real time, I dare you to speak to it tonight and say, I will live and I will not die. I dare you to speak to tonight. I dare you to tell it, this is not final tonight. This is not the end tonight. This pit is not where I'm designed to be tonight. I'm going to look to the Lord. He has great things in store for me. He has great things in store for my family. God is going to touch my finances. God is going to touch my marriage. I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm going to look up. I'm not going to get caught up in real time. Here we are at the end of Joseph's life, and he's still speaking blessings into God's people, still telling them God is going to send a man. Amen. He's speaking Moses into existence. Can I tell you, God will visit you. If God makes you a promise, he's going to bring that promise to pass. He's going to bring that promise to pass all over this place tonight. Come on, this is where we need to be anchored. This is where our souls need to be anchored tonight. This is what we got to get down in our spirit tonight. We can't get caught up in real time. We can't get caught up in the jump that's going on around us. We can't get caught up in all of the stuff that's trying to pull us down into the pit. We got to keep looking to the Lord tonight. We got to trust him. We got to believe him. Come on, we got to believe him tonight. What do we do when our life gets hard? We look up. We look to the Lord. All over this place, let's just love him for a few moments as we sing this closing song.